let the Lord be your Lord. Now, you know, in the summertime, we're always looking for shade. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for some heat in the winter, looking for some shade in the summer. Man, we go out west. I cannot for the life of me see how a place like out west can get so cold in the winter and so hot in the summer. But it ain't nothing for it to be 103 degrees. There's no high humidity, but it'll burn a hole right through your head. I mean, it's hot in the butt traps out there. And I've always looked for a place where I want to stop and get under a tree and shade. But we do a lot of that work out there. Because you get so blasted hot, I mean, you feel like you're going to explode sometimes. Scotland out there was this year. He just didn't pay that much attention to it. He learned, didn't he, Scott? Every that first day. But the next day, he was colder and lotion. His face was dripping with lotion. Matter of fact, his head was covered in it. His face, he had lotion everywhere. And but you learn it's hot out there, so we wear hats when we're out there and keep that sun off our hats. Sometimes you have a hard time keeping up with it. One of me and Travis went out there, he said, "Oh, another area is this, and we had to chase our hats down." And yours got ran over, didn't it, or something or other? Went across the street, punching, got black top, got old car all over. Brand, we just had fun, didn't we? And mine rained, mine went way down the neighborhood. I kept running, jumping hedges, and I'm trying to catch this stupid thing, and finally stopped and went out and pounced upon it. And all day long, I kept pulling that thing down. Amen. But just trying to find a place to shade. Amen.
Right.
And this is what Jonah needed, a place to shade. He did.
Amen.
He really did. And God did that for him. But that needed to be done. He created that gourd. And one day, how big? That thing had to be pretty big for a full grown man to get under. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. It had to be big. One little crooked neck gourd. It was a big gourd. How big it? It's quite big as that. Bigger than that piano. Big old gourd.
Yeah.
And he probably, had to shape just right. Boy, no, just crawl back on that thing and just nice and shady, cool, and to shade himself. But he put too much stock in that door. He did. That's the theme of the entire message today. And, in Psalm 57, verse 1, the psalmist had it right there. He said, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge."
Right.
Until these calamities be overpassed.
Right.
Until this storm and I even be passed, I'll get on the wings of God.
Amen.
That's what the psalmist is saying. And this is exactly what Jonah was in the flesh.
Right.
And it's the second time he's got in the flesh. You'd think that the death of Jonah would stop. He died. He literally died. He did. And we'll get into that a little later on. But he died and God brought him back and spat him out and the whale and give him another, give him a second time. I got a message I preached years ago, second time around. That's what I preached.
Right.
The second time around. Things changed. Second time around. Amen. But here he is now. He's again. He's in flesh again. He's mad. And there, I didn't read it. He said, "I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen." Man, one of them go, "Hey, you weren't going to judge him." God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Right.
And I just please God had to punish people.
Right.
He doesn't please God has chasing you.
Right.
He does it for your own good. That's for your own good. He doesn't please him. He doesn't. If you take pleasure in taking your belt off and beating behind off your young, then you're sadistical and there's something wrong with you.
Right.
You do it for their own good. I never whipped one of my children. It didn't break my heart. And to this day, when Jenny or God spanks one of theirs, it just breaks my heart. Sometimes I just have to get up and walk out and just stand it. But I know they're doing right.
Right.
Amen. And God can't do any wrong.
Amen.
You've got to have discipline. That's what's wrong with our country today.
Right.
You don't have any discipline in the schools,
right.
Courts.
Amen.
Nothing. I'm telling you, it's pitiful, isn't it? So we've got a bunch of heathen.
Yeah.
Running the government, a bunch of heathen out here on the streets. Future government, probably, Lord God. Please, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's all I've got to say about it. Amen. I tell you right now, I'll be glad when the Lord comes. Amen. But He's to be our refuge, He's to be our shade, and we need to recognize that and not put anything before Him. Amen. That's right. And it's good to let the Lord be your glory. Look at that text there, verse 6. What he said. Verse 6 says, And the Lord God prepared a gourd. He prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah. Made it to come up over Jonah. He grew that thing right over top of it. Jonah didn't have to go get under it. He didn't have to do anything. He's sitting there all maimed and all disgruntled, and God said, "Oh, poor Jonah, he is burning off." And no, save him, I've been bald, he might have, you know. And the Lord seen his sunstroke was going to come upon him and kill him. And God knows all. He knows every thought in his heart. And so he said, "Well, I'll just not grow that over here. We'll have to get up and move. I'll just let him sit there and grow that gourd." God just grew that gourd. He just grew, oh, yeah, this perfect gourd, perfect umbrella gourd. Umbrella gourd. But I've heard different gourds. But umbrella gourd is an umbrella gourd.
Yeah.
And it grew it on top of him, then it might be a shadow of his head, over his head, to deliver him, you see. You see, God is always thinking about deliverance where you and I are concerned.
Right. Amen.
He delivers the songs, the old song that says, "God, my God delivers again and again. My God delivers again." And it's just deliverance. Listen, in a day on this earth, it's hard to say how many times our God delivers us.
Amen.
He said he has delivered, he does deliver, and he will deliver.
Right.
Amen. He delivered us from our sinful condition.
Right.
Saved us. He delivered us daily from death and devastation and destruction and aggravation from the devil and the flesh. And then one day, praise God, he will deliver us to heaven.
Right.
So it's just deliverance. And here's no different. Said he'd deliver him from his griefs. And Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd.
Right.
Not of God.
Amen.
But of the gourd. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's good to thank God. The children always thank God. So he should have said, "Well, you just thankful that the Lord give him that gourd."
Amen.
That's what he should have said. I don't see God in mention there, do you? Amen. And God prepared the gourd. There's four times in the book of Jonah that prepared is mentioned. Amen.
Right.
God prepared four things there. We'll get into you. First, God prepared a whale to swallow Jonah. Write them down. Many preachers see it. Write them down. Secondly, God prepared a gourd to shave Jonah. Then God prepared a worm to shame Jonah. Then fourthly, God prepared a wind to sedate him. To calm him down. An easterly wind. Amen. Four things God prepared there where Jonah was concerned. And that preach, I'm telling you right now, that will preach. Amen. I preached it before, I know the preach. That's a good divine outline right there in the Word of God. To swallow him, to shame him, and to sedate him. Amen. That word sedate simply means to calm. Means to calm. Amen. Amen. So we see that Jonah should have let the Lord be his gourd. Amen. God should have received praise from right off the bat when he did the end of the preaching. He should have thanked God, praised God that God saved that much sermon.
Right.
Instead of being discouraged and disgruntled because the judgment didn't fall, he just knew judgment was going to fall on that bunch. You know, if you read a little history about church history on the Ninevites, they were a wicked, ruthless people. Their armies always used flesh hooks in the jaws of the leaders of their enemies, and they'd tie them behind their chariots and pull them through the cities. They were mean, wicked people, a lot like the Chinese. Yeah, really like the Oriental. Orientals are wicked people. They really are. I realize there's some saved people in the Orient, but there's history teaches you that they're wicked people. You know, during World War II, I read in the Courier Journal back when I was still at Ford, back in, I guess it was the late 80s, I read this, where the Philippine government had sued Japan, when Japan began to come in all that big money, you know, they got sued them for how many millions of dollars? Well, they had taken and butchered 35 Filipinos, the Japanese had, and cooked them and fed them to their troops who were starving to death. So MacArthur had cut their supply lines. That's how MacArthur defeated them on the island. He starved them out. Amen. They come out in droves and surrender. Old MacArthur cut their supply lines and starved them. They killed 35 Filipinos in witnesses and skinned them and gutted them and butchered them like you would a cat or a hog and fed them to their troops. You tell me that's not wicked and ruthless.
Right.
The Midianites were a lot like
right.
that.
Amen.
And old Jonah was a preacher, but he had a far about him more. He said, oh, God, I'm going to scald your eyes. I mean, I bet he preached them a message. Well, you know, he preached a message, he thought it was going to happen, but it was so realistic, they repented.
Yeah, right.
Amen!
Right.
He preached and did that, which he didn't think it would do, really. God used it.
Sure.
God put his touch upon it and broke the hearts of the Midianites. And the Bible said, we didn't read the entire book of Jonah, but the Bible said from the king all the way down, they repented in sackcloth and ashes.
Right.
He wasn't expecting that, Jim. He's expecting all out judgment to fall.
Right.
When you think you've got God figured out, you ain't got nothing.
Right.
Tell you right now, buddy, you ain't going to figure out God.
Right.
He always does the exact opposite of what man thinks he's going to do. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he does, praise God.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't care if we get entangled in politics too much, and we look too much to the leadership of our country, and you know what? We're done when we do that. I've been just as guilty of it as you. And God has showed me. We put more attention on the Lord than the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Right.
That old Gore, God used that old Gore.
Right.
He used the Gore just like he used America's government, like he used all these dictators, these leaders. The king's heart's in the hands of the Lord.
Right.
And as the rivers have flowed, he turns it whithersoever he will.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, you get this message down today, it'll help you.
Good,
guaranteed it'll help you. It's a good message. I know God give it to me. I ain't done no sense for I can't give it.
Amen.
Everything I've got ain't good. It's God's message. I've got it on their mind. But they ain't nothing like these. It's God's message here. Amen. You know what? I put this together and I said, Lord, I ain't going to preach. Boy, I studied it another time. I thought, oh, ain't my preach. And I got this one. I thought, oh, dear God, I know what change is. I got in there and studied. I said, Lord, God, this thing is getting bigger all the time. It just kept growing and growing and growing. Amen.
Amen.
It's like that door.
Right.
God caused it to grow.
Amen.
It began to grow in my heart.
Yes.
It began to grow in my mouth. And God said,
yes.
You can't preach it. Even though the crowd swallowed this morning,
yes.
It's just like I knew it would be. I knew the crowd would be swallowed this morning when you got to study with this message.
Yes.
2 weeks ago.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve.
That's right. That's good.
Amen. God deserves today.
Amen.
Oh, my. I tell you, he prepared that gourd. And I believe the Lord wants us to see that we need to put more emphasis on the Lord than the gourd. Amen. Let me give you a few things concerning the preparation of the Lord. Write them down. Number one, we see that God's preparation is our salvation. Now it is. God's preparation is our salvation.
Amen.
That's right. God prepared our salvation before a star was ever hung in space. Before the moon and the sun ever existed. Before an angel was ever spoken into existence. God prepared our salvation. Isn't that wonderful? He prepared it. Praise God, you can't add to it or take away from it. God prepared it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's one of the problems today in the churches today. And these big theological cemeteries, I like to call them, but seminaries, want to study theology. And don't know beans from apple butter about God to get out of there. Give you a big lot of rigmarole that man has devised.
Right.
That couldn't bless the heart of a pea ain't.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I like preaching. I like sound Bible preaching that teaches
right.
with simplicity.
Right.
On the level where man and his wife and his family can understand it, get something from it.
Right.
We can sit under some of these big-brained theologians. You can't get. You don't know nothing when you get through with it. God doesn't. God don't bless stuff like that.
Right. Amen.
He doesn't. I can listen to a science discussion all day long. I don't know much more when they get through than I did when they started.
That's right.
And that's, you know, the locus of that is doctrines of men. They really are. Summed up and drummed up in the brain of a man. It's approved. And I think you need to get stuff on the level, on our level. I do.
Right.
The humanistic level. They really do. So you can understand it. And of course, we that are saved, you know, God drives stuff home to our hearts, and He opens our minds up, and He enhances our thinking, and He gives us the illumination we need, and the understanding we need. Helps us to grow. He makes wise and simple, He said.
Right.
And I fall right in that line right there.
Me too.
I guarantee you I do. But we see here that God's preparations are salvation. Matthew 25, verse 34. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." What's He talking about? Talking about the kingdom of God. We talked about that a little while ago, didn't we? Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost. It's God Himself, the Spirit of Christ. All the kingdom of God is prepared in Christ.
Right.
It's all in Jesus.
Right.
He is our all-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Amen. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two separate kingdoms, dear friend. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of heaven is up there. And it'll be down here too during the millennial. It'll be in the holy city, New Jerusalem. They'll suspend between the heaven and earth. How far it comes down, I don't know. John saw it descending. He never saw it stop.
That's right.
A lot of your Bible scholars have it suspended. It might not be suspended. It might have come right on down, resting on the earth.
Right.
Amen. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Let me say to you how big it is, 1,500 square miles. High, long, and wide. That's big enough for you, ain't. You know what? You know, you can go from here. I think the distance from here to Brownsville, Texas is 1,500 miles. That's a pretty good sized city, ain't it? We drove from Brownsville one time. We started at 10 o'clock one morning. We think, or 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock one morning, got home at 10 o'clock the next day. Yes, sir. That's how big it is. It's going to be square miles, though.
Yeah.
You think about that. Lord, that's going to be big, isn't it? Now, that's the kingdom. Listen, that's the kingdom of heaven. But you've got the kingdom of God right now in you.
Right.
That's why we're to share it with people.
Right.
That's right. And it's all in Jesus.
Amen.
In the Spirit of Christ, which Paul said, if any man have not, none of his.
Right.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah.
That's right. It doesn't depend upon your profession completely. It depends on your possession. If you don't have that possession of Christ in you, you're not saved.
Right.
Okay, how many professions you make?
Right.
Amen. You don't possess anything, just by profession.
Right.
If you don't mean business with God, He won't do business with you.
Amen.
If you had no intentions of turning from what things you loved and that were sin, then you don't have a possession.
Amen.
You've got to turn from your sin to Christ.
Right.
Won't you do that, you're saved. You don't turn from it and then stand there and say, "Well, Lord, you saved me now." No, you don't do that. No, you don't do that. Won't you turn to save me?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And I talked about that doctrine of repentance and faith and salvation on that. And he and I see eye to eye on that. He said they work together. And as soon as you turn, why would a person want to turn if he didn't want to get saved?
Right.
So the moment you turn, you get saved.
Right.
That's why I know I got saved from you. I went forward and made a profession that I got saved in the pew. As soon as I knew what I was going to do, I turned. So I stood up and turned, and God saved me. I felt the burden roll before I got out. Yeah, I did. Tell me I did. And yeah, I came up and made a profession of faith. The old man John Sewell came to me off to the side, had a room of inquiry. A lot of them used them back then. Sat down, took the Word of God, and nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Tell me what I need to do to get saved. I thought more than that. I went ahead and made the profession of faith. Amen. Wasn't that wrong with that, is it?
Right.
Now, well, I said, "If you got to learn the Lord, your dad learned the Lord at home before I got saved. Too much before I got saved." She said, she got back down on her knees after he left and did it again. You want to make double sure you got saved, didn't you, honey?
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with that either.
Amen.
You know what we're talking about? We're talking about your eternal existence.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to scoff at something like that.
Right.
If you're here today, I don't count any profession of faith you made. If you don't feel in your heart you're saved, God help you to come today and turn from your heaven to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Most important step you'll ever make, I guarantee you, let this out of heaven.
Amen.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Amen. A lot of people think it's more important by far to get saved. Truth. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Listen to this. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Prepared for you. Your salvation was prepared.
Right.
From the foundation of the world. You think about that now.
Amen.
For you. Since for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give you something else here now. So hold on to your horse.
Amen.
So we see God's preparation in our salvation. And secondly, we see God's preparation in our preservation. In our preservation. Amen? That's right. You know what preservation is. You know what preserved is. Any of you women raised and done in Canada and all, you know what preservation is. Amen? Preserves are. Amen. We preserve some deer meat just here recently. We did it nice. We preserved it nonetheless. It's preserved. It's frozen up in freezer bags. It's preserved until we want to get it out of there and eat it. Of course, it ain't really preserved as good as green beans that you can in the can because they're back, in fact.
Right.
And they'll last a lot longer. I'll tell you right now, if they're not broken, I'd say you could eat them 50 years from now.
Right. Amen.
I was one time I was up here doing some painting for Chuck and Jenny Taylor, my old house they lived in. This is back in the 70s, and went down the old cellar or something or other, and there sits some old lead topped blue tin mason jars. The old long lead top, boy, I'm thinking, oh, them got 1800s. I remember when they used them when I was a kid, though, and porcelain inside of them. And I said, Lord, look up them things in there. And Jim said, why, that was Francie's when she was in high school. She was 100 years old then, brother. That was Francie's in the 4-H. They were peaches, and God, my witch, I picked them up and looked down, and they looked as good as everybody. I wouldn't care if one picked them up and eat them. I wouldn't. Do you know they dug up a river boat where the Missouri was turned around and run backwards during the 1843 New Madrid earthquake in Kentucky, and it sank and covered up with mud, and they located that thing and dug it up and got down in the hold of it and found a case of branded peaches and opened them up and just as good as they were back in the 1800s. This was in the 1980s. I read it in the National Geographic.
How about that?
Amen. Think about that.
Yeah.
I still ain't done with what we got.
No, sir.
We
break it, brother.
Woo!
Yeah.
We're preserved forever.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I said, you can food. You get from Campbell Soup. They do a good job of that. But it can get dense and slow places there. And if you can't eat it, you can get botulism from eating it.
Right.
And you can have them spoiled for back the fact that you'll find spoiled. I was at World War II cave rations back 15 years ago that were packed in World War II, and they ate them in the Philippines. I bet you still buy them some places. Back in Pakistan, fresh meat, but no all grab paint on them.
Oh, yeah.
Back in Pakistan, the military during the war.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we got that meat all pieces.
Oh, yeah.
So we're for eternity.
Yes, sir.
Back in Pak for eternity.
Amen.
Back in Pak, a buddy of mine got killed in the Battle of Vietnam. They had him up for months, 2 months, I guess, before they finally sent him home. I went to his funeral, looked just like he's asleep, and all the time, back to fact. I bet you go dig him up right now, he probably looks the same. That ceiling that broke was just the same. And he back to fact, something holding like that. There's a message in there.
Amen.
There's a message in that thing, Mike. Amen. Back to fact from heaven. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Vacuum pack the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, listen. In Psalm 37, verse 20, I said, God's preparation is our preservation. In Psalm 37, verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever.
Amen. That's right.
Y'all believe that?
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. You know what? I can lay down and die on that.
Right.
Amen. If I didn't believe it, I couldn't. If you don't believe it, I'll shout and take it. You can.
Right.
If you ain't got faith, then where you're going when you die, buddy, you better be reckoning. You better be examining yourself.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen. Sir.
I'm telling you right now,
amen.
They're not fiddling around with it.
Right. Amen.
Hey, a lot of people doing it today.
Yes, sir.
I dealt with a guy just here recently. Oh, he said, I hope so, think so, hope so. I said, you better know more than that, buddy.
Right.
You take your last breath of life, son, you're gone.
Amen.
You're either going up, quick, or down.
Yeah.
Right.
And you better make sure you know. I talked to a man yesterday, and probably right now, got one foot in the grave. Got cancer, bad. See, you've had two types of cancer. And I said, are you ready? I said, do you have Jesus as your Savior? I will, I hope so. I said, sir, you better make sure you've got him.
Amen.
Colon cancer, sure knows what I'm talking about. I prayed with him, tears just streamed down his eyes. I'm going to go back and visit him again. I said, do you mind if I stop by time to time and visit with you? I keep visiting with him, but I'll be in faith.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
Good man, good man.
Amen.
Colon cancer's taken a lot of people out.
Amen.
It's bad. Amen. I said, let me give it to you now. God's preparation is our salvation. It's our preservation. Amen. Here's your element. I found also that God's preparation includes an open invitation. Woo! Hey, listen, the verse split second, he prepared our salvation in the eternity before, back before, we don't know how far back, but back before he stretched the north over the empty place and hung the earth upon nothing, he prepared our salvation.
Yes, sir.
He prepared our preservation.
Heard you.
And he prepared an open invitation.
Amen.
To anyone who wants to come to
him.
He did.
Sure.
I believe that.
Oh,
I preach that too.
Yeah.
I'd double dog dirty if I go and say to Arthur Bunyan said that he believed in predestination. No, God didn't predestine anybody to hell. He did not.
Amen.
He predestined all to be conformed to the likeness of his Son.
Right.
So he predestined.
Amen.
But he gave it, but he put whosoever will on it.
Right. Amen.
It's up to you.
That's right.
Amen. But when God deals with your heart, that's the only time you're going to get saved anyway.
Right.
You're going to get saved just any time. Well, I think I might get saved today. You know, just try it. I'll belong. You ain't getting nothing.
Right.
You're not going to get anything. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father will send me, draw of them.
Right.
But when that moving power of the Holy Ghost on your heart, God's bringing tears to your eyes, and God's shaking you up, telling you you need to get saved, you best get up right then.
Right
then and there and get saved.
Amen.
Come to the Lord. Turn from your sin to the Savior.
Right.
Get saved.
Amen.
That's got to take place. You're going to go to hell. You are, and I'm telling you, God help us to see the truth of that. God's preparation includes an open invitation. An open invitation to all. Here soon, if it happens, George W. Bush will be leaving office, and Barack Hussein, I'll call his stinking name, Hussein,
right.
Obama, named after his great uncle, Sodom probably.
Amen.
I found out now that I ain't getting on politics. I found out now. I heard him before in Egypt. They just coming out with it.
Yeah.
That right there excludes him. You cannot, buddy. Oh, what's his name? Schwarzenegger, the Terminator out there in California. Governor, the phone. He talked about another president. And I heard him say right on the world news. He's from Austria. He's Austrian born and reared, and he can't run. If that be the thing, then Barack Hussein Obama cannot become president of the United States. But I wouldn't say that, preacher. You bet. Well, no, it won't happen, honey. That left wing demonic devil.
They steal, they
break,
they do anything
to
wear out of
them,
and
they
get
mad
with it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, that public, they want to put him in prison.
Right.
You're right. He got a little enough sense, let him do it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Don't let you do the side of it, I'll tell you right now, I ain't.
Right.
Amen.
I'm going to let the Lord be my Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I really am.
Amen.
I worked it forward, and that's all. Let the Lord be my Lord.
Amen.
Amen. But it includes an open invitation. Hey, if he gets in, and they have that grand ball, I'm going to have when the president gets in. They've seen that they're going to have 3 days and nights of dancing. They showed up once again. Skirts called throat there, twisting around a little drink. Her hands are 18, 19 years old. That's about what's going to go on.
Oh, yes,
sir. Oh, the Lord comes.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you one thing. Ain't nobody here with an invitation to that. You think they can invite somebody like me and independent far reading some of them bad as free?
No.
You think you would?
No.
So, what was it? Forget it, it might have been Peter. I think his last name Methodist Evangelist. Old Peter. Son, yep.
Carter.
Old Peter Carter. Say he was going across the country. He was an old mule riding evangelist back in the 1700s. And he said he stopped at an inn to stay overnight. And he said some people were there, gathered there, and they were having a little festivity line. And said he got in a room and got in a couple of bottles and sat down. He said, the lady goes, so do you like to dance? And he started to say, well, no, I don't want to dance. I'm a preacher. I'm a man of God. I don't believe in such stuff as that. Mm-hmm. And said, the Lord said, no, I'm going to say that. Peter said, ask him before you dance, to ask the blessing of the dance. And said, old Cartwright said, well, yes, ma'am, I would like to dance with you, but I'm a man of God. And before I do anything, I always ask the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, you all to the Lord God. Could I pray first? And what could you say? And so he said, let us pray. And he said, Lord, I've come to you along this line of thought. Because of this dance, which really, Lord, I don't want to do. He said, oh, I would pray till blessings would come down right now, Lord. And you strike conviction in the heart of this young woman, all that's here this evening. And old Carter had so much power of the Holy Ghost upon him. When he got through praying, buddy, when they cried in the place, and people were crying out to God for forgiveness, and that everybody there got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why they don't want a preacher around something like that. Of course, if I could go there and preach, I'd go. I would. I'm telling you, I'd go down to hell and preach. I thought I'd get out. I told somebody from that, someone that one time, he said, if God puts you in hell, preach, you'll get out of there. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But God's preparation includes an open invitation to all. Now, listen to what the Word of God says. I'm getting, boy, man, that flew by. Lord, I know that lady. Revelation 22 verse 17 said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Here's that open invitation. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride and the Church say, come. You see, the Spirit and the Bride. You see, and notice what says there, the Spirit and the Bride. And there's nothing that breaks that, no comma there. Spirit and the Bride. So we work together. Spirit working, Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're to go out in the power and the persuasion of the Holy Ghost. As a witness, and tell people to come.
Right.
Send the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's an open invitation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Preparation. An open invitation. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a few more things for all this message. Let me say this morning. The preparation of the Lord we're talking about. Preparation of the Lord is patient. It's patient. God's long-suffering. Not will that any should perish. Amen. It's patient. Lord, look how long he's give us to get right with him. Thousands of years to get right with him. Amen. Why look at the time he gave Noah to build it? Noah took his time on that ark. You know he's bigger than mine. Good, it's over 100 years. God was patient with him, wasn't he? And you reckon, you know, and I don't say that, but I don't know how the Holy Ghost does me. He does you. You'll be doing something, and the Holy Ghost will speak to you, and I can do that. And it's the Spirit of my man, so we can. God's involved in everything in our life, you know that? I believe that, don't you believe? And I believe Noah will start to do something. And when he's right with Scripture, hey, no. Don't do it that way, do it this way.
Right.
Do it this way. And it'll even be stronger if you praise it this way, Noah. Hey, Noah, you didn't get enough dirt on me and Scott, I think it was. We put the sealer on that Phoenix house down there. Remember that? And Gary got on me and said, I tell you what, lady, you didn't put a sealer on the thing. I said, I know we did. And he said, I don't know that that thing maybe did. But don't matter what you tell God, no, he knows it works. Don't you have an idea since that car, that pitch that was put within the ark and how the ark was the type of Christ's blood? Don't you have an idea that might tell on those things? And the Lord said, hey, no, put that on his. Lord God, it's symbolic of the blood of Jesus.
Put it on Teddy. And God said to me, rock. But when I get up here in this pulpit, God said, preacher, put it on him.
Amen.
Put it on him.
Yes,
you're preaching the blood. Put it on him.
Right.
I have an idea, buddy, when those Moses and Aaron put that blood on the doorpost, son, they swabbed it on him. You don't see?
Right.
Amen. They wanted to be seen. Amen. Well, that's good preaching. Praise the Lord. I said the preparation of the Lord is patient. Secondly, I find the preparation of the Lord is permanent, too.
Yeah,
it's permanent, buddy. It never gives way.
Amen.
And then thirdly, his preparation is prophesied in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. I've had some debates with these Church of Christ jerks. That's what I call them. And I tell them, they say, well, the Old Testament is not for us. We're New Testament Christians. I don't know. I know we're New Testament Christians, but the Bible says all Scripture.
That's right.
It's given the inspiration. And I always say this. You say this too. And when that was recorded like that, there wasn't any New Testament.
Right. Amen.
All they had was the old parchments.
Amen.
All right?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And I said, furthermore, the new is hid in the old. And the old is revealed in the new. How do you separate those two books, sir? Well, they can't be. Oh, they say, well, all I know is that the old was revealed. Old Testament is not for us today. They don't know anything. I tell you what,
right.
Old water degenerate, old water dog. Church members, no, they are. First church of the water dog congregation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said it's prophesied in the old. Now listen to this. His preparation is prophesied in the old, but I find his preparation is promised in the new. No difference there either. It's promised in the new. Amen.
Amen.
Peter said by these promises, you can be a partaker of his divine nature by these promises. He's talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. He'll be a protector of the divine nature of God. I got one more. I'll shut up. I said it's prophesied, it's promised, and then here's another. His preparation is perfect.
Right.
It's perfect.
Amen.
I quote the scripture time and time again, Ecclesiastes 3:14. That what God does, He does forever. Nothing can be put to it or nothing taken away from it.
Right.
And God does it that man might hear before Him. Have reverence for Him for who He is. He's God. He's God. And we'll reverence His Word. We'll reverence His people. We'll reverence this building that God has built for us together in worshiping. Reverence this time today that God has given us to come out for worship. Amen. You know what might come out of this whooping cough epidemic? You don't know what might come out of it. You might be here this morning and have some loved ones at home. I have. And God speak to you and say, you should pray more for them. Pray more for them. And maybe even they might not even come in contact with this disease the next time around.
Right.
I believe in preventative maintenance Sunday. I'm sure you do. Amen. I mean, when the oil is changing, you change it. Right? If the tires need air, the tires need checking, you check it. That's preventative maintenance.
Wow.
That's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things around your house, you check them every once in a while. Mm. Preventative maintenance. You won't let the house negligence, a lot of negligence, and soon the house will fall through.
Right.
It will. And so I believe God takes things like this and teaches us preventative maintenance.
Mm.
Teaches us that we need to pray more and draw closer to Him than we ever had before. Because there's nothing else but the security of our loved ones. Amen. And boy's not here this morning anyway. It's not here. Our best son's not here this morning. I don't know where they're at, but he's been here for a month. I believe he needs to get saved. I do. I believe his wife needs to get saved. I think his boy is saved. I thank the Lord. And I saw fruit positive in him. The boy, his mother and dad, and kept his mother church, the same. They lay up for him. He didn't lay up for them. Amen. I believe they're both lost. Every time I walk in here, church starts, they never come to Sunday school anyway. That's one thing, I never have gone to Sunday school one. Never have. I'm going to put the blame where the blame is deserved.
All right. Amen.
Amen. God knows it anyway. You might as well come clean with it.
Amen.
I talked to him the other day, I think a couple days ago, and I said, I think I'm just going to start somebody leaves. I know things you all don't know about. A lot of people select this church. I don't say it. I don't want to talk about it. But I think a preacher ought to just get up there and give everything about it to you. So you wouldn't be able to blame about anything.
Amen.
Now, the reason I haven't, I don't want to give place to the devil and
right.
Let him take something as truth and stir up a lie with it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The reason I haven't done it. I tell you, the best thing we can do is confess our faults one to another
right.
And pray one for another. That's what the book says, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. But he said to confess our faults one to another. Well,
right.
Then if I'm the overseer of the flock, shouldn't I confess my fault but not only mine and yours too? Come on!
Right.
Amen. Sure should.
Amen.
Absolutely. I won't do it. There's some things I feel like just need to be left alone. I do. But the old saying that lying dogs sleep. Sleeping dogs lie, you want. Then leave them alone. Leave them alone. Amen. And I know, listen, Almighty God has made preparation for everything that's ever took place in your life. Up to now, it's made preparation for everything that will take place in your life to the very time you are taken out of here to glory.
Amen.
Because he said down here, he'll guide us with his counsel, and afterward receive us to glory.